Hello and welcome to the Boys in Maroon podcast. Our guest this week is Hearts of Midlothian's Claire Delworth. Claire, the last time we spoke was at Preston Pan's Player of the Year Awards, which was before all this lockdown stuff. So how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, keeping busy, just trying to get through this wee period of time without football.
Yeah, it's hard going staying in, isn't it?
Yeah, so I've been quite lucky. So along with my job at the club store, I also work in a pharmacy at the front counter. So we've obviously been really busy, so I've been working there quite a lot.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great work, key worker. Yeah. No, honestly, you know, we've got a clinic, so yeah, just having pharmacies open, massive responsibility. One of the questions I was going to ask you was, obviously playing in the top league now, needing to stay fit and healthy, eating well, no pizzas, nothing like that. All the doner kebabs have gone out the window. So how are you doing in terms of trying to stay fit?
It's going quite well. So we got given programmes from like the club. So we've all got like wee programmes to do, but we've been made into wee competition groups between like splitting the teams. So it makes it kind of a fun competition to make sure there's that wee incentive to keep doing fit. So we've got like strength and conditioning, we've got like running, we've got all different types, endurance and all that. So I've been doing that. But then my dad also takes me down the park because his dad, my granddad, was a Scots Guard. So he must have taught my dad the training, and that puts you through your paces, I can tell you that.
Right, I can tell you a story now because you know I know your dad as well. So I saw you on Twitter basically saying, I'm going to ask my dad to take me to the park. The next tweet was saying how sick you felt. And then I contacted your dad, I texted him, and your dad went on to tell me about his background with his dad. And he was telling me that he was killing himself laughing because he really did put you through your paces, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought like the first time we were going to go, he'd maybe take it a wee bit easier, see how it was going. But then I got down there and I didn't think my legs were going to carry me home.
I love it though. I love it. So he's keeping his fit. And he's a fit lad himself, isn't he? So
he tries. He takes our dog a walk. So he's got me doing that with him. We take our dog a walk. Just try and push ourselves, keep ourselves going, ticking over.
No problems. Yeah, take me out off to you. On the other interviews, different people have been telling me how they've been sort of doing. I get out and about as much as I can, but I'm no athlete like you and the others that I'm interviewing. So I do my best. In terms of, go on, what I'm going to try and do is, so we're not doing, on these interviews, we're not doing all the geeky stuff about, Claire, do you remember the goal that you scored against Hutchie in the 21st minute and you did this and you did that? So it's not those. There are podcasts out there that do that, and I'm not downing on, but if that's the kind of podcast that you're after, it's not for us. So getting through this, I love my music, so I'm going to share some with you. I did it with Tony McDonald. He educated me. I haven't got a bloody clue some of the gear that he gave me, but I'm listening to it. So I'll tell you where I'm up to. So to get through some of the stuff that we've got on, we went to see 1975, and my wife loves 1975, but she's playing it all the time. Do you know when somebody plays and plays and plays and then you end up loving a group, but then you end up hating a group? Yeah, so that's that's where I am. But also listening to 21 Pilots, there's a group that we should have gone to see, but it got cancelled because of the virus, a group called The Regrets, which is an American group. So they're coming back over. So we're going to go and see them. And then a lad that I know from Yorkshire called Matt Abbott, he's a poet. And he has a fantastic group called, quite ironic really for these times, Skinton Demoralised. So anyone wants to get on Spotify or wherever and have a look at Skinton Demoralised, a fantastic group from Yorkshire, where I am. Go on, you tell us some of the stuff that you've been listening to.
I've not really got a big music taste, so I really like Louis Tomlinson, who was obviously in One Direction. So I've always listened to One Direction, but I really like Louis Tomlinson and Harry Styles at the moment, so I'm playing them quite a lot. Always like Little Mix, and it's just kind of like anything that's in the chart that's a feel-good I'm trying to listen to, because obviously music does improve your mood, so anything happy, it's on my playlist.
There you go, I like that. Staying in a happy place. Right, here we go now then. So if I was to mention Dean Martin and Madness on Dad Drives, tell me about that.
Madness is like my dad's favourite group. So whenever they come on at a party, he tries and drags you up. So I've been brought up with them too, as And we go into the games and I'm like, oh, can we put some music on? And he's like, yeah, Madness. And I'm like, all right. So I probably know every word to every song.
You do all the movements to that. You've got to do, everyone can dance to Madness.
Yeah, that's what my dad says. Even I can dance to Madness. So I think that's why he's his favourite band.
Well, it helps when you get older, because when your joints and that are going, at least you can still do that with arthritis. It's really, really, really easy. Tell me about mum driving you to training. So is it 80s music?
My mum kind of just listens. Well, we kind of listen to, I don't really know. She just listens to whatever's on. Like, my mum's quite up to date with music because in her work, obviously, the radio's on. But she comes up sometimes and she'll be like, Claire, I've heard a new song and it's really good. And I'm like, I've not even heard that. Like, that is a really good song. And she's like, proper down with it. But my mum just lets me listen to, like, whatever gets me ready. Like, because it's only, we're lucky, it's only like a 10-minute drive to training and games. But as long as she's got me in the zone, then she feels like she's done her job.
Okay. I quite like that. You're quite lucky, like you said, they go above and beyond, which is probably why you're at the level that you're at now, as well as your effort to do. Right, I've got some football questions, but before we do, I'm going to give you two questions. You've got to choose one or the other. So here we go. Danny Wilson or Sean Clare?
Oh, Danny Wilson. He's a winner. He's won a league with us.
There you go. Zal or Berra?
Zal.
For what reason?
I never got to see Berra in his prime. So right now, obviously, because he's obviously had such a good career, but I didn't really get to see it. But I've seen Zal again win something, and he was a leader. And when I was younger, I wanted to be a defender, and I had him and Andy Webster beside me. Not beside me, but I got to watch them.
You got to watch them. Here we go. This is probably the hardest one. Patterson or Smith?
Michael Smith.
For?
Mr. Consistent. Anywhere across that back line.
Do you know, that just shows you how good a professional he is, because Tony McDonald said that as well.
See, I watched Callum Patterson, but I always thought he was better going forward. And I think he'll agree that he is a better forward now, the fact that he's playing up front for Cardiff. But I just think Michael Smith can do a job anywhere. He can play midfield. You could probably stick him up front.
Yeah, and he'd give you 100. I think you could shove a green jersey on him, he'd still give you 100%.
No, yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Okay, Walker or Nicholson?
I'll probably go for Jamie Walker, just because I feel like he might say something next time he's in the shop if I fix Sam.
Be on with it. You know my English team is West Ham, so this is a hard question for me, this one. Ali or Kane?
I love Dele Alli, so I'm going to have to go for him. I just love him as a guy. I think I've watched him on Tottenham videos and I just think he's so down to earth, but that's a tough one.
Is this a footballing decision you're making here, Claire?
Yeah, I think Dele, well, it's tough because they're both good players and obviously it depends. I think Kane is the better player. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind and go with Harry Kane.
Okay, two over that one. I'm going to write it down here and at the end of it, I'll come back to you and you can see whether you're still on that. Right. I set you a challenge, sort of get interest in these podcasts and that. We did a loo roll challenge, which is pretty hard to say. Me and Gogs know how hard this is. So I'm going to put a question to you. So you did yours, right? And I unbelievable skill. Having tried to do keepy uppies with a toilet roll and seeing how difficult it was and how easy you made it just made me sort of think back. So looking back on the Women's Cup win last year and the year before when you just missed out, those kind of me travelling up north and watching the games and just watching how skillful people were that were playing the games. And then listening to other people who say things like, you know, I went to one of the ladies' games. So I was really surprised how well they played. I went to the game and, you know, it was really well organised. And I was really surprised at the skills, or I was really surprised at that left back. Or, and you can go on and on and on. And it always, honestly, I normally come away from places like that biting my lip, having blood coming out of it, because I think this is my version. So here we go. And you tell me what you think. You've got two legs, you've got two arms, you've got two feet. Why is there a reason that you can't be as skillful as any man? And I can't think of one. Now, if I put you against, I don't know, some 6'5", 19 stone centre forward, you might struggle a bit, but that isn't based on skill. That's based on he will use his weight against you and you'll find that difficult. But with a ball at your feet, there's no reason. Do you think the same?
I think, obviously, I don't think there should be any differences within women and men's sport to the degree that they should both be treated the same. But obviously, men's football is a lot bigger than women's at the moment. So a lot more people will see men's football as the game to watch. But women's football is slowly rising and more people are seeing that it's just as good and just as entertaining. It's just not been advertised and has been as big for years like the years before. So I do think that people need to try it and see that women's football can be as exciting, can be as skillful, can be as good as a men's game.
Definitely. I mean, you probably get bored of me mentioning this, but you know, I basically going around watching home and away, watching the women's team. And I'll take you back to, I'm sure it was Hutchie, that goal that you scored. I was standing with your dad and we were laughing because, yeah, I think your dad said that he only just opened his mouth and said, I've promised her a fiver for every goal. And literally within 30 seconds, you'd saw an opportunity with the, I think it was the outside of the right foot, and you'd hit a ball and it wasn't even in the net and you were raising your arms. It was almost like, do you know when you see, I mean, I've never done this, but you know when you see them people that hit a goal shot and they just turn away because they know there's a sound and you just know it's going where it is. And it was almost like you'd hit it. And honestly, if you'd have got that ball and walked up to the net, you couldn't have put it in a better position. So I want, but the question that I'm going to ask you is, being an out-and-out Hearts fan, and doing things like that for the club that you've basically supported, God, since you were born. So you've been going along to these games with your dad and you go along every week and you're pulling on this maroon jersey and you are scoring goals like this. You are winning cups at Tynecastle. Not many players in Hearts can say that they did that. How does that feel? That's like if you said to any fan, give us a wish list, that would be it.
It's hard to explain what you feel in the moment because I'd say to the girls before the game that I thought I was going to score this season. I was like, no, I'm making it that I'm going to score this season because I'd came close the season that I'd first came up. I was just, it's just the initial like, oh my God, you don't really know how to react. And then I celebrated and I think I celebrated with Rachel and I was like, oh my God, like this is my dream. And then about 20 minutes later at halftime, we were walking out and I was like, I didn't really celebrate how I thought I would, but you just don't know that like, you can't explain your emotions in that time. Like it's just, it's pride after the game and it's pride during it, but you don't understand the pride of it until you reflect back on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like to get to do that is something that not most Hearts fans will get to do, which is obviously not a nice feeling, but to have been able to do it and I've wanted to do it since I was like five, just it's just pride and it's really hard to explain. Like when someone talks to me about it, I smile and they're like, oh, you must be really happy, but it's more than happiness that I get when I talk about it because it's like childhood dreams are really coming true.
Definitely. I mean, I've got around my office, I've got a number of pictures up of that particular season. But there's a particular goal that you scored and you're holding on to, you actually jumped at Rachel and you're hanging on to her like some kind of bear. So either you're very light or she's got a very strong back. I don't know what it is, but for me, that picture, that joy, because you can't actually see your face, you just see the back of you, but you can see Rachel's face and that's just sums up scoring a goal for Hearts.
Yeah, I spoke to Rachel before the game and she was like, oh, like, what would you do if you scored? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And we just kind of always decided that I'd celebrate with her. And when I scored, I could hear her shouting. Like, she was like, you've done it. And we both kind of, like, it was like, we both couldn't believe that I'd done it. It was like, we were just like, it was just unbelievable. Like, it was just like, oh my God, this is happening. It was just amazing.
It certainly was. It filled my heart with pride anyway. And everybody in that team deserves every success that they get. Should we go on to some of the football questions that we've got? Should we?
Yeah.
Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
Are you ready for them? Here we go. I'm asking a lot of people to sort of, they'll be commenting on teammates, and it's always a difficult one. So when we did the Anthony McDonald one, he had to actually choose between some teammates, and I was laughing because I just thought, you know, at some point you're going to be going into training. You're going to be going into training and someone's going to pull you on it. So some of these, so I'll go through them. Number one, so it's a 7-question challenge. So your favourite player of all time. So what I want you to think about is your favourite player of all time and probably the favourite player that you've played with of all time.
Favourite player of all times, Rudy Scatchell. I don't think anyone will not know that he's my favourite player of all time. And if I could go back and appreciate him 2012 and get to see him and fully take it in 2005, 2006, I would trade it. I just, everything about the man. I met him once at a memorial service and he was just a proper, down-to-earth, nice gentleman. He spoke really well to us and he took his time to come and speak to me, which I think's always really stuck in my heart. I think that's why he probably is my favourite player, because he's such a nice person as well as a talented footballer.
Mm-hmm. That's a good choice. I like his first choice.
Favourite player of all time for ladies? Oh, that's hard.
You can either do it players that you've played with or you can think about other leagues. It's totally up to you.
I'm going to say this one because last season she got me through a lot of games. Probably playing with Danny Pags has been one of the best. You don't really see it on Danny's face, but she's got a really funny side to her. And anyone will tell you, I was petrified of her till about October last year. That she would talk me through games and see if I was stressed in a game, she would take it and make it as a joke to try and calm me down. She would, like, someone said something to me. I think it was Megan. She was like, "Deli, calm down." And her and Danny took it and both made me calm down on a game because I was worried. And I could probably say Megan too is one of my favourite players to play with, just because they both talk you through a game. They take the leadership, but they take it above and beyond what you'd expect as a captain, which is really helpful, especially with someone like, I was obviously so young when I first started. Both of them were just really good with me.
That makes such a difference, doesn't it, when you've got leaders on the pitch. You can take some of that sting out of the game. Two fantastic players. Question number two, the best match you have seen? And the next question would be the best match that you've played in.
Best match I've seen? 5-1 Cup final. Just everyone knows what it was.
Just say that everyone score again, Claire. What was the score again?
The 5-1 Cup final. just because of the game. I think it was the first year I started to properly take in football, as in playing in it. And then I remember going to the game and everyone was petrified. My dad was nervous, like, because of everything that it meant. But I never really took it in. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, if we lose this, it's Hibs. I just was relaxed because, like, now I wouldn't be, I'd be petrified. But I don't think I fully understood. But when the fourth went in, McGowan's, I was like, oh, I know what this means now. But yeah, probably a 5-1 Cup final, definitely.
And I think most hearts, if it wasn't 98, it'd be the 5-1. So go on, what match that you played in?
You've obviously got the Park Thistle match, which was great to play in. Obviously, winning the league, getting to be there at Tynecastle in front of 1,000 fans. Like, that's when you went and watched some of the ladies' games 3-4 years ago, you would never have dreamt of having 1,000 fans there. It was just amazing. And to do it on our own home pitch in front of all the people cheering you on, and to do it in such a manner that we went out, the whole league, the whole season was a battle, but we stood up to the battle. I just think that's something you'll not see often, and you just got to take it and experience it.
It was, from my point of view, that match was just so emotional because the battle had been all season with Hamilton, them going in front, you going in front, them going in front. And then all of a sudden, you just got that 6 points where you basically put them to bed. And what a day at Tynecastle. So, and then you fully enjoyed it. And you were just watching everybody. You was like gazelles leaping around like crazy people.
I know, it was just, see when the full-time whistle went, there was a split second before it. Emily had the ball in her hands. And I just remember Danny saying, "Just kick it anywhere, Emily," because the ref had his whistle in his hands. And I was like, what do I do? Like, it was just one of the ones, like, how do you celebrate this? And obviously we all went in a team huddle, but I remember my dad saying, make sure you shake every single Park Thistle player's hand because you've done it every season and you'd be respectful. So I kind of, I think you've seen the video, I jet off and it looks like I don't know how to celebrate, but it's because I wanted to shake their hands before they like left. And obviously the girls all followed, which was really good to see that both Partick and us still had that game, like game ship between us, even in such a big game.
Yeah, definitely, because watching that game, Partick had some cracking players and was such a strong side, but just not strong enough on the day. Okay, question three, the player you wish you had seen.
Oh, that's hard. Obviously, there's quite a few Hearts players, like I wish I'd seen Robbo live. Probably is Robbo. I'd like to have seen him in his prime scoring goals for fun. I'd like to see how he was a proper striker. A lot of people still go on about how good he was. Probably Robbo, yeah.
You're going to hate me for knowing your dad, but what was your name for him?
Yeah, I used to call him Johnny Robertson.
Beyond with him.
Just never used to be able to get it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Go on, player that you... Is there any females that aren't playing the game now that you think are?
I mean, I caught her right at the tail end of her career, but I'd like to have seen Caroline Herron a bit more. Obviously, she had to retire through injury to her hip. Mm-hmm. I think she could have been a really good player. I'd like to have grown up playing beside Megan Patterson. I think that could have been an interesting one. But then I'd also have liked to have played with my sister. I know that sounds really stupid and people will be like, sisters playing together. But the way my dad describes her playing, I think having someone on the pitch like that, like she would know to tell me, like she would always have my best interest at heart, but she seemed a really good player. So I'd have liked her to keep playing and me to have got a chance to play with her.
Good choice. I mean, I don't know your sister, but I know Megan. And for me, probably one of the most complete players that I've seen. So you get 100% every time, which has got to be good to watch. It's got to be good to be playing at the side. And a very, very, very nice person to be around.
Yeah, very nice person. I think a lot of people don't realise how nice a person she is. Like, I think people see her on the pitch and obviously, if you're going 50-50 with her, you're going to think, oh no, but she's actually probably one of the nicest people ever.
Now, I'm getting on a bit, and I have said this to her, but the first two matches that I watched Megan play for Hearts, she actually taught me around about five or six new swear words. So she increased my vocab. It was unbelievable. But she communicated well to let people, everybody knew what she meant. And what they had to do. So, she did the job. Question four, the best atmosphere that you've experienced at a game?
You've got the relegation derby that Hibs came to try and relegate us, but they obviously didn't. That was a good atmosphere. So I sat in the old stand and me, my dad and my sister sat and we knew these guys behind us and we just kind of started talking. So now, like, we're really good friends with them. They're big jambos. And I think when Billy King's second went in, I can't remember anything but, like, these grown men, like, jumping on us. And it was just the whole game, the atmosphere was electric because it was like, well, this is our patch. You're not relegating us here. And obviously they didn't. But it was that even the team seemed to have that bit of, like, bite to them. Like, they weren't getting to relegate us. And we all knew that. I think every fan knew that we couldn't let them relegate us and the atmosphere was just electric.
Yeah. Like it couldn't happen on your own turf, could it?
No.
No, it's just not done at all.
I don't think Gary Locke would have let it either, knowing how big a jambo he is.
Exactly. In the dressing room, they'd have known exactly how we felt and what needed to be done. Go on, I'll probably guess the answer for this one, but in your own career, best atmosphere?
Partick Thistle at home, just because there was so many people there, and I don't think anyone but a jambo would understand how it would feel to play at Tynecastle, playing for your own team in front of so many fans, and so many there was young children there cheering us on. Like, you don't usually see that. Like, usually you have like maybe 100 fans, so getting 10 times that amount is just scary. Like, it was just amazing. It's just something you want to take in and you wanted to get a moment of that and trap it in a bubble and keep it for the rest of your life.
And you've done it, so nobody can ever take that away from you. That's yours. He isn't doing this interview, but Goggs is going to be doing some interviews as well. But Goggs always reminds me about the goal that he scored at Tynecastle. So I'll send you some. I'll get it off Goggs again, and I'll send it to you. So it's Goggs with hair. So you can tell how far back it is. And he actually scored a goal, which I think, it was a corner. So it was a cross. But Goggs will tell you that he actually aimed for the top corner whilst taking a corner. So that's some spin on the ball for him to be able to do that. But he'll tell you about that. But no, he's, like you say, he's just so proud of that moment, just to be able to be the fan that goes out, plays on the pitch. And like yourself, go on.
That's exactly, I remember our second against Park Thistle. I played the ball to Danny McGinley, who went on to score. But I don't know if you can see it in the highlights. There's a part of me, I'm screaming at her to play the ball back. And obviously, when I look at it, I'm like, there was no way she was going to be able to backheel that to me. But I'm jumping on the spot wanting to score. But do you know what? Even getting the assist at Tynecastle is just mental. It's so good.
It is. It is. And that bit that you've just described tells me, because you are a passionate player and fairly vocal, and your body language says when you're frustrated or you want something to happen. So you do make me laugh with that. Okay, the best goal you've ever seen live. It's got to be live. We don't want any match of the day stuff.
Best goal for Hearts, Oztalk at Easter Road.
You can do best goal ever, so you take it how you want it, or best goal, your other question is best goal seen in ladies football, in women's football.
So I'll probably go Oztalk at Easter Road for best goal, just because who does that in a derby, eh? Who's got the confidence? That's just, that'll go down forever. You've got Oztalk at Easter Road, best goal I've seen live or played in. It's no surprise here. It's going to come from Rachel Walkinshaw, probably. Either the one at Hamilton on the first game of the season, or the one...
Is that the long range shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because both of them almost turned it. I think we were getting beat the one away from home the first game of the season. And when she hit it, I went, oh my God, why is she hitting that? And I've told her this. I was like, I was going to scream at you. And she was like, I didn't even think it was going in. I couldn't even tell you it was going in. I thought she'd missed it. But that just changed. It changed the dimension of the game. It put us back on the front foot, because we didn't have the greatest of first halves, but we weren't out and down and out, and we were fighting. That changed it. Or the one at home against Hamilton, we were 2-0 up, and they came out and scored right after half time. So it gave them even more momentum, and Rachel's ability to finish it when she was off balance like that. It's just, you don't see that.
Let's just describe this, because this is, time alters your memory with this, but I remember it being, was it just in front of the halfway line or just behind it? I can't remember.
Just in front of the halfway line. She took a touch and she nutmegged their centre mid.
Yeah.
And the keeper is obviously trying to backtrack, but the most she can do is push it back the way into the net. And then the second one's edge of the box and she's off balance. And she's hit it and it's went top left corner.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the first one you describe is basically lobbing the keeper from the halfway line. Mm-hmm. She's some skill. She's some player. At Livingston at the moment?
Yeah, I think she is, yeah. She's enjoying football. It's good.
At Livingston. I thought you'd have had Ash Carsey's only header. What's Ash Carsey? 5 foot in her boots. And I just remember that one header. And she celebrated it like she'd got a double hat trick.
That's probably one of the best celebrations I've seen, just because Ashley used to get tight for not headering a ball. And I get it. I hate headering a ball sometimes. Just the fear of it. Sometimes I'm petrified of it. If you ask my dad, under 13s, I would duck. But see, when she headered it and she scored it, I was like, oh my God. I'm so happy for her, because she can have that memory to live with, that she's done it. She scored a header.
Just arms in the air and turn around to everybody. Just like, boom, got it. And you can probably change these around now, because some of these are very much the same. The last one is the fondest football memory.
This is a hard one. Fondest for women's football would probably be either making my debut, because I was petrified that day. Glasgow City, one of the best teams in the league. And Andy obviously put the faith into me. And played me, and I played left back, and I'd only started as a right back that season. So before I was playing right wing, and I used to be a striker. And then I was at development, and I was like, my coach was speaking to me, and he was like, "Do you want to try full back?" And I was like, "Yeah." It's actually my Lucy Horn, who plays in my team. Her dad Robbie takes Bonnie Rig, and he was like, "No, you can play right back. Like, you'll be fine." And he was talking to me, and he was like, "Look up Cafu, look up all these different old right backs, and watch how they play." And I played, and then I'd had a successful season. Andy pulled me up for that game and played me left back, and I was petrified. But all I was thinking was, I can't let her get past me. I can't let her get past me. I'm going to let the team down. So either probably make my debut and playing well, or when we were in the change rooms after we won the league and we were all together. So I don't think we have a video of it, but our team song was Canter. Like, we always seemed to play it, and we played that, and everyone was just together. And it was just one of the moments where it was like, this is amazing. So probably that. And then for football, well, I was a massive supporter of Danny Wilson. Like, I used to get tight from the people behind me. They'd be like, "Oh, Danny Wilson, look at that pass." And I just used to look up to him. So my dad gets his hair cut by the same person who his granny does. So he wrote me a wee letter or something along the lines. And I remember him winning the league. And I just remember him winning the league. And I was like, yes, because that was like my hero. And that was when I was really young. I was only like 13, and it was like your hero doing something like so amazing for someone, like for the club that you love. It was just amazing.
I think that's that comes through all the time with Hearts. So, you know, there's places where I've been in England and Scotland where you've been introduced to superstars, and they've come across like superstars. And I said this in another interview when I met you at Preston Pans Player of the Year. Smith was there, and he could have been a guy at the bar, as could Walker. No airs and graces, no superstars, and just with the interaction that people, that players have with fans is really, really, really special.
Yeah, it's really important, I think, because when I remember going to meet, I used to go to the memorial service at Hearts do, and I remember every year it would finish and I'd be like, "Dad, can we go meet this player? Can we go meet that player?" And he'd be like, "Just go and speak to them." And the one I remember is met Andrew Driver, and I called him Driver, but I was only like 10, 11. So my dad was like, "I'm really sorry, it's Andrew, Claire." So I was like, "Could you please sign this for me, please, Andrew?" And he was like, "Yeah, of course." And he took it and he got everyone to sign it for me. And it's just that niceness of being like, do you know what? Like, that is the people that you look up to. Like, I looked up to him, and that'll always stick with me. And he probably will, he'll not remember it. I know he won't. But that sticks in my heart as a memory that I've got off footballers just being down to earth. And that's why you support the people.
Definitely. And I would say for anybody, I mean, we don't know what's happening with the seasons and with the virus and everything else that's going on. But if you get along to the women's games, how approachable are you lot? So you're there, you're watching the game, the parents are there. So I've met some really nice people, got some really nice friends from going along there. It's like a family, isn't it?
Yeah, we are all really close-knit. Like, I remember someone came into the shop last year and their daughter got 2 on the back of their top. And I was like, "Oh, that's a really good number. That's my number." And they were like, "Yeah, that's why she got it." And I was like, "What? Like, that's mental." Like, I would get Rudy Scatchell or something in the back of my top. So to add that, that's really nice. And I don't think the dad or the child realised how much that meant to me as well. Mm-hmm. I was standing and my boss was like, "Claire, why did the two? Did you say it?" Like, and I was like, "Yeah, it was for me." And she was like, "No way." Like, that's just scary to think that someone looks up to you so much. Like, I just see myself as like a wee girl kicking a football about. It's just amazing to have. And we've got really good fans. Like, we've got fans that come along every week. Like yourself, you obviously travel really far. We've got a really good group of fans and we're all really appreciative for it.
It's just special. I'm so glad that you've come on. But before I say my goodbyes, I'm not letting you off, Ali or Kane.
Right. For this season, I'll go Kane. As much as I love Dele Alli, I'll go Kane.
I don't think you love Ali enough.
World class, Kane. Great world, and I'll argue anyone.
Listen, Claire, when this show gets bigger and I get Ali on, we'll get you on at the same time. I don't think you've got to worry about this, mind you. But I mean, two cracking players. I have to say, being a West Ham fan, you know, it's a difficult one. There's probably only one team that I dislike in the UK, and it's Tottenham. So it's really hard with you and your dad, but two fantastic players. Claire, you've been a star, and I say this to you every time I see you. I don't think you realise how good you are, but I know that you're going to have a great career in the women's game, not just for Hearts, but internationally. At that match, the Scottish manager was watching, and at half time, we went into a room and she was standing there. I think she was watching a Chelsea game, and I went up to her and I spoke to her about a number of players, but you were one of them, and she was listening. And I was saying, listen, you've got to take these opportunities, and basically saying to her, you know, you need to get scouts down and you need to scout this girl, because basically you're just special. You approach the game with a smile on your face. You're so competitive and a big, big future in the game. So I thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it.
No, you're more than welcome. You look after yourself.
You too.
You're very welcome. We've been the Boys in Maroon. You can catch us on theboysinmaroon.com. There's going to be a number. We're going to try and do one a week, but we're trying to get one or two in the bag first so that you can go from one to the other. So keep watching. Follow us on Twitter and have a look at us on Facebook. Thank you so much.